the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, horticulturist. I just love gardening, and I know it's what everybody needs to do to feel good in this world. It would make a big difference if everybody would just garden just a little bit. Get those hands in the dirt. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
Get them little piggy toes in the dirt, too.
That's it. I'm thinking of weeds, and so... Oh, everybody just needs to pull their weeds right now. So
there you go.
But how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm not really happy with all these weeds. I mean, I appreciate the rain that we're getting, but dadgummit.
Doesn't it pop them right up? You know what's especially coming up in my yard is that Florida poinsettia. It's the weed that looks like a poinsettia, but it doesn't get the really red leaves, only the red centers on the leaves.
Okay.
And it's called Florida poinsettia. I don't know the name of it, but it's all over my yard. And it comes up and it gets to be about 6 inches tall. But it's easy to pull out. It just boom, boom, boom. It's easy. I say that being the royal we, it's easy. So how was Shrek's Father's Day?
It was good. How was Tony's?
It was great. Good. We had a wonderful time. We had dinner at his daughter's, Genevieve. She's so good. We had good soup. And so steak, it was steak. You know,
yum.
You have to do that.
Oof, yeah.
And so I just have to tell you, though, Lizzie, I loved the show last week.
Okay.
With you and Tom and Lance. It was so much fun. Lance Walheim's the author of The Citrus Complete Guide to Selecting and Growing More Than 100 Varieties of Citrus. And it was a great, great interview. And I certainly enjoyed it. Your story about the turkeys was, you had me rolling with the turkeys. And I was laughing so hard. So big thank you to Tom McCubbin for hosting while I was gone. And I miss Lance, you know, talking with him, but he's promised to come on again in the fall. So he's going to be back on. So that makes me happy. I want to give a big good morning out there to Peterson's Nursery and Quality Green Specialist. Peterson's Nursery does have a repotting class this morning, and it's going to be at 10 a.m. Bring 2 orchids 6 inches or less. And they will help you repot them. So big thanks to Howie and Karen for doing that. Also, good morning to Tom and Diane in Maitland, Vicky, Shelley, Maynard, Gilbert, and everyone who liked our Facebook page. We got a lot of likes this week. So I'm so happy about that. Thank you very much. And rain, you know, it's been hit and miss with us. We haven't gotten a lot of rain in Orlando. But you said you got a lot this week.
We got quite a bit, and we had a huge thunderstorm. Maybe it was Wednesday night or Thursday night. Maybe it was Wednesday night. So, yeah.
That's good, because rainfall and water is very important to the landscapes. That's why I talk about it. It's just we have to be very, very cognizant that if you get rain, there's no need to water. And especially if, you know, the amounts of rain we're getting. So the weatherman this week has promised 4 to 10 inches this week for Central Florida, especially on the West Coast and Central Florida. So that 4 to 10 inches, wow, that's going to be a lot. And this is a great time to go ahead and make sure your irrigation has a rain shutoff device on it, which is a state law since 1981, and it will turn your system off. There's no need to pay Mother Nature or pay a utility bill when Mother Nature provides it free. So let's see, Central Florida, North Florida. It's the same this week as it was last week, low 90s and mid 70s at night, and a good chance of rain nearly every day after Tuesday. I'm going to talk about the rain totals in just a minute. West Coast, Tampa, Naples, Venice, Cape Coral, you're going to be the fortunate one with 30 to 70% chance of rain every day. South Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, you're going to be blessed with rain every day this week, too, as well. Key West, not so much. Ormond Beach, a big thank you out there and a shout out to Ormond Beach. We got a lot of listeners there.
Yes.
And I'm really pleased about that. In Melbourne, Ormond Beach in Melbourne, you got a good chance of rain every day. So, again, turn your irrigation sprinkler systems off. And then if it does come on, what you need to do is check your rain shutoff device. There's some reasons why it will go off. It's not set at 1.5 inches. That should be what it should be set at. The batteries are dead, or it's so old it's not working. The wiring's not working. And it should be checked every year at least. And it, if it needs replaced about every 3 to 5 years, they only cost between 40, and I say only, I know that sounds like a lot, only $40 to $50 to get a good one. But that's going to save you hundreds of dollars of water bills.
Yes, definitely.
So it's definitely a good trade-off. And it is a state law to have them working. So check it. If it comes on this week, then you know you need to replace it or get it fixed. If you see irrigation going on, and I'm going to be talking about that in just a few minutes, because I wanted to talk about the totals in the aquifer and that the irrigation amounts and stuff has changed. We're on an emergency crisis, water shortage crisis. So I'll be talking about that. So today we're going to be just talking with you guys. You get your gardening questions answered. I'd love to hear from you. I've got a lot of great questions sent to me over this week that was important. I did installations. I do about one installation a week if it's a big one, and if it's a small one, you know, two a week. And I have the best landscape crew doing it. They work so hard. But I nearly had one who was nearly passed out because of the heat. So I'll talk a little bit about that. This Monday, June 29th, full gator moon. It's the second blood moon of this month. Time of the year when alligators are most active as they enjoy the summer heat. That's this Sunday's second full moon. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We've already got some great text messages, so we'll be getting to those. I just wanted to say the full moon, this is the Florida full moon. It is a full gator moon, and it's the time of the year when alligators are most active as they enjoy the summer heat, and summer boating stirs up fish and birds for more food supply. So they are out there waiting. So if you're new to Florida, be careful around dusk and sunrise. And if you see baby alligators, get the heck out of there, you know, because mama's around.
There's somewhere. A mama somewhere.
There's a mama somewhere. So they're mating right now. Egg season is going to be coming up. And so then also, too, it's the 4th of July next week. So we will have a best of, and it's going to be great. But I'm going to give you what to do in your garden in July today. And I have Independence Day trivia questions you can plant on your family and friends during your 4th of July barbecue. So that will be good. So, you know, give us a call, and we would enjoy hearing from you. So we have one of our favorite callers, Jerry. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. And you got rain, so that's great.
Yes.
We only got about a half inch yesterday. For the first time in 2 weeks, I guess.
Well, I think you have more coming up this week, so that'll be good for you.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you. The question I have is, how do you use the red volcanic rocks in the landscape?
Okay.
Are they beneficial or?
No. They're just.
No?
They're not beneficial. It's not organic, so it doesn't help you with your lawn down. Do you put a fabric mesh, fabric underneath them so they don't make their way to China?
Yeah, there was some plastic under them. See, I was giving them to by the neighbor because they had them in their yard.
Uh-huh.
And, I thought I could get some and make a use of them.
Right.
I also have a fire pit I built, and maybe I could use them in there. But I'm looking for the landscape first, some of your expertise.
Right. Well, it's better for, you know, organic mulch, wood. You know,
organic.
It's better for that. But,
yes.
You know, if you've got them, you know, so here's how I would use them. I would use them in a landscape design with a southwestern Mexican or, you know, Mediterranean theme with the red tile roof. So it would look good in a type of themed landscape. You're welcome to use them. They're free, so I wouldn't have a problem. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to help your plants or your landscape. So they're not beneficial.
Okay.
Yeah. But if they're free, I would use them.
You. Yeah, I will, because they were expensive. And so maybe the fire pit then is a better choice, because they were $1,000 a ton.
Yeah, they are expensive.
On the market.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And so your fire pit would be a really good place to use that.
Oh, great. Thank you very much, Teresa.
You're welcome, Jerry.
Have a good day.
You too, hon. Thank you for calling in. You know, I so appreciate it. You know, when something's free, you got to balance out what you want to do. And lava rocks are expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's good. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680 like HR in Jacksonville did. And so he says, good morning. I have several old garden shop plastic containers that had soil in them that have become full of weeds. I pull the weeds, but they are coming back. I am trying to save the soil. Should I just toss the whole thing out, the container, weeds and all? And I'm going to tell you yes. Okay, weeds, you don't see those seeds of weeds in your soil. Okay, so they come in through the air, they come in through little critters, they come in through birds. And so that soil, if you've already pulled the weeds out and they've got more coming, more weeds are growing, HR, then yeah, go ahead, put the soil in a compost bin where it can heat and destroy those seeds, you know, break them down, or just throw them away. But I would just not use soil that had a lot of weeds in it because you can't see the seeds. So that's one thing. So, yeah, great text message. You know, I have a lot of weeds coming up in my yard with the rain and everything this week. So rain totals to come up this time of the year. It's important to know we do have a crisis irrigation. We're only allowed to be watering once a week right now in the St. Johns River Water Management District area. Only once a week. That's residential, commercial, and institutional properties. Only landscape irrigation is prohibited between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. daily. Now, you know, before this crisis management, you could water up to 10 o'clock. Now you have to stop at 8 a.m. Commercial, industrial, and institutional users must suspend certain non-essential water uses. Golf course fairways is only limited to one day a week. And then aesthetic water use. You're not allowed to run decorative fountains right now. And so it's actually prohibited. And street and pressure washing activities have more additional restrictions. And then irrigation for new plantings, including sod, have been tightened. So you're not allowed to water. So if you're getting new sod, if you're getting a new yard put in, you want to make sure that you don't overwater it so that it can become established. So right now you can only water for 30 days on a new yard. You don't want to water every day. Okay, what you need to do is you want to put the sod down, water once a day for the first week. Okay, and that would be 30 to 40 minutes. Okay, depending on your water pressure, you need to calibrate your irrigation system to make sure you're putting it down the right amount. You don't want to be watering it for hours, okay? And so water it once a day for the first week. You want to water every 2 days the second week, and then water every 3 days the third week. And by the end of the month, you are on that twice a week watering, or really right now, once a week watering. Okay, so if you water for 30 days every day, then what's going to happen is that root system is going to stay right close to the surface, and it's never going to become established. It's kind of like you're watering hydroponically. It's growing hydroponically. And so when you don't water, Mother Nature kicks in, and she pushes those roots down deeper. And then that way, it will not need as much water. Okay, so new lawns are very important, but also you can do this right now when we're getting all this rain to, you know, wean your sod off of irrigation. Your lawn, if you get an inch of water a week, can go 7 to 10 days without watering. So when we're watering twice a week like we could normally, or once a week like we can now, then you are creating that need for water. Now, if you're fertilizing, which you're not allowed to be fertilizing right now, but when you're putting fertilizer down, you want to make sure your sod is hydrated, your landscapes are hydrated, and then also chemical use for insects is going to increase the need for water. So right now, I wouldn't be putting any chemicals down in your yard at all. Do not use preventative insecticide. You know, we have these companies coming around and they just say, okay, we're just going to spray for insects right now. You know, you only should spray for insects and spot treat only when you see them. There's really no bug preventative out there, no insecticide out there that's going to prevent insects if they're not there. So, you know, if they're coming along and you spray, then you get them. But if you go ahead and just put an insecticide down and nothing comes along, by 2 to 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you're just going to leach that insecticide out. There's no really reason to put it down. Okay, now I'm not talking about termiticide treatments and really severe. Now, if you have an insect problem, go ahead and take care of it. But make sure you see those bugs. Okay, so the irrigation is very important. How much do we need this year to bring up the totals, bring up the aquifer to normal? Well, the panhandle, you need at least 22 more inches this year. So count down, you know, just put that 22 inches and see how much you get over the next 6 months. North Florida, which is the Jacksonville, Tallahassee area, you need 33 inches the remaining rest of the year to bring the aquifer up to normal. Central Florida, you need 37 inches to bring it up to normal. And then the lower central part of Florida, right above Lake Okeechobee, west or east of Tampa, 35 and a half inches. And then the Miami Everglades area, Key West, you guys need 36.75. So it's 36 and three quarters of an inch you need to bring everything up to normal. Now, when we're in a drought like this, or we've been experiencing a drought, your landscape is going to be fine. You can hand water, but what I need you to do is, before you water, see if the plants need it. Stick your finger in the ground, and if the ground is cool, moist, or damp, you don't need to water, all right? And so the water, if you want to make sure you're mulching correctly, 3 to 4 inches will help keep that moisture in the ground. And then you don't necessarily need to. The plant may wilt. There's some plants that have been planted and they really weren't fully established in this landscape I looked at. But she says they're wilting. And I said, well, feel the ground, touch the ground, you know, put your finger in the ground. If the ground is moist, that just means they're just getting established. They don't have a very fully functional root system yet. And that's going to be normal for them to wilt a little bit. Okay, but as they get acclimated, as those roots grow, then you're going to, it's not going to water as much. All right, so 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Mark, I don't know what city you were from, but he texted me, and he wanted to have some plant choices for hiding the house. So in between him and his neighbor, the plants, the palm trees all froze and he can see this house. And I have to tell you, I don't blame him wanting to cover it up. It did not look good. He said, good morning, Teresa. Prior to the freeze, the two-story house behind us had lush tropical trees and we could not see their house for the most part. I'm sending you a picture, which he did. Great picture. What are some planting choices to block or greatly hinder the view? I thought of podocarpus, but I know they're slow growers. And he said, my wife thought of sweet viburnum. What are your thoughts? And so the photograph really helps me. You don't have a lot of space, Mark, in between your patio, your paver patio, and the fence. It looks like it's about, I would say, 4 to 5 feet. And that doesn't give you a lot of choices. All right, so hang in there. I'm going to give you those choices right now after a word from our sponsors this Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967. That's 1-888-888-4567. 855-2967, or you can text 23680. And so Mark, he sent a letter with a great picture of his backyard view of a two-story house overlooking his patio area. And he wanted to know some choices that he could, that would be fast-growing and fit in this area. And it's about a 4 to 5 foot area between him and his patio, paver patio, and the fence. And so that's kind of a little bit of an issue. Okay. And so my choices for you, Mark, one is the Golden Hedge Bambusa Multiplex Alphonse Car. So the Golden Hedge Bamboo, it gets to be about 15 to 20 feet tall, and it will fit. It's a clumping bamboo, and it will fit in that area, and it will withstand winter. It will withstand summer heat. But I would suggest that it's not invasive, but it's going to grow to 15 feet wide. So I would take and put a bamboo barrier in a trench right there where you're going to plant it. And what that's going to do is it's just going to keep it controlled. It's not invasive. It's not aggressive. It's a clumping bamboo. But that area is so small. Now, your other choices, Podocarpus, I think is a really good one. But that's going to be a little bit of maintenance because you're going to have to trim it. Simpson Stopper is a wonderful native columnar shrub that will provide red and yellow berries for the birds. It's native. It will look good right there, and it can get to be 15 to 18, 20 feet tall as well. It will need to be trimmed, but not as often as the Podocarpus. You could also do gardenias. You can do a tall height gardenias. They can get to be 10 to 12 feet tall. And it would go over that fence, grow above that fence so you couldn't see them. And it would need to be pruned a little bit, but it would fit in that space. And that would give you some wonderful fragrance right there. My other thoughts are then you can use a crepe myrtle. You can use a single trunk so that it just has one trunk. It's not going to tear up your patio. But Tuscarora or Muskegee will be tall enough. It will give you some shade right there and also color, and it will block that house. My other one is a Jatropha. It is a tropical plant that has beautiful red flowers. Butterflies love it, and also hummingbirds love it. They get to be 10 to 12 feet tall, and that would look good too there. And it would not get out of control either right there. So, Mark, let me know if you like any of those. And what you do, send me a new picture with your trees or whatever you decided to select. I'd be very interested in seeing how you do. So thank you for the email. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Jeannie, she sent a picture of her tomatoes. Her Everglades tomatoes, and she said, is this bugs or a water problem? I don't know. Tell me what to do. So, Jeannie, know what you have on your tomatoes are spider mites. You can actually see the webbing in the photograph you sent, but you've also got a fungal disease called blight, a tomato blight. And so what you need to do is basically throw, you can either cut all the parts off that are infected and cut off the diseased leaves and discard them in the trash. Do not compost them because of the disease issues with them too as well. So improve your airflow by staking up your tomatoes and spacing them correctly, and then avoid overhead watering. Water in the morning before 8 o'clock, between 5 and 8 o'clock. So you can't stop rainfall at night, but you can spray neem oil every 2 weeks, 1 to 2 weeks to keep the spider mites down and your disease issues down. So that's a Neem 85, which is a Summit Responsible Solutions product. Excellent, excellent. I'm going to be talking about that more later on today. Let's go to Elaine in Polk City. Good morning, Elaine. How can I help you? How are you doing?
It's Eileen. Oh, I spelled it wrong.
Oh, did you? Okay. Eileen. Hi, hon. How are you?
That's okay. I get called all kinds of names. Anyway, bobsprit grass in my little drift rose bed.
Oh, no. Okay.
When he was mowing.
Okay.
So I broke two toes.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I dropped a can of relish on them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but I got to get out there and do something with them.
Okay, so the... Did I...
Hold on a minute.
Yeah. Somebody needs to talk to you, Eileen. I'm listening to you.
I have to wait.
Okay, so tell me what kind of grass you have that he spread in the bed.
It was from the lawnmower. We got all different kinds of grass.
Okay, so the only one I'm concerned about is probably Bahia grass. If there's any Bahia grass seeds, that might be an issue. If you've got zoysia, the rhizomes, you just want to just take them out. Kind of.
I'm going to have to take it out with the hoe.
No, he just sprayed them on top, right?
He sprayed them through the whole bed.
Oh. Okay, well, yeah, that's going to be, I think you're going to be just fine. It might just, with the heat and everything, it might just decompose. So I would just wait to see, all right? Thanks, Eileen.
All right.
Okay, hon, bye-bye. Happy 4th of July, Eileen. If you've got a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. What should you be planting this month? Well, vegetables are really pretty gone right now. Okay, so you can use the tropical and Caribbean and African and some Asian plants right now. You can be planting bonito, calabaza, cherry tomatoes. You will still continue to get cherry tomatoes all summer long, along with Everglades tomatoes. You could be planting okra, southern peas, Seminole pumpkins, sweet cassavas, roselle, and then sweet potato and yard-long beans. Now is the time. Get your seeds for eggplant, peppers, and tomatoes. And you can plant the seeds now in your little trays, in your little pots, and that way they will be able to be transplanted in August to your garden bed. So vegetables is a good time to do it. Herbs, anise, basil, bay laurel, chives, dill, ginger, lemon balm, tarragon, mint, oregano, sage, sweet marjoram, and thyme. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens and your phone call, 1-888-455-2967, this Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
And my top five this week is in honor of the 4th of July and the 250th anniversary of the United States. My top five patriotic gardeners, not in any order, particular order. Number five, John Bartram. He was a Philadelphia naturalist and botanist. John Bartram was regarded as the leading American naturalist of his time. In 1728, he established what is now the oldest surviving botanical garden in North America and exchanged seeds and plants with European botanists. Through his work, Bartram introduced 150 North American plant species to Europe. Martha Washington, you thought I was going to say George Washington? Well, Martha Washington, in the 18th century, her kitchen garden was one of the most important parts of the estate of Mount Vernon. Created in 1760, Mount Vernon's garden has remained largely unchanged and produced fruits, vegetables, and berries. Martha played a central role in its success, overseeing the evening meal, which was expected to be plentiful and elegant. She was a skilled plantswoman who understood the quality of the table reflected directly on her household. Thomas Jefferson, often called America's first gardener, Thomas Jefferson created a 1,000-foot terrace vegetable and herb garden at Monticello. He cultivated more than 330 varieties from 99 species, including asparagus, beans, cabbage, cucumbers, kale, okra, peas, and herbs such as thyme, rosemary, and lavender. His detailed garden records and seed exchanges reflected a scientific approach to horticulture, while his use of native plants expressed his patriotic ideas. Number two, Eliza Lucas Pinckney. She was a South Carolina planter and botanist, and she tested new cash crops and introduced important plants to the American colonies. She helped popularize indigo cultivation, which became a major export crop and contributed to the growth of agricultural science in the southern colonies. And number one, Robert Prince. He is credited with founding the first major commercial nursery in the United States in 1737, Flushing, New York. Working with his son, William, he established an eight-acre nursery that later became known as the Linnean Botanic Garden and Nursery. It grew into the largest and most influential horticultural enterprise in the colonies. They specialized in fruit trees, including apples, pears, cherries, plums, peaches, and apricots, grapes and ornamental plants, and international plant trade, rose breeding and cultivation with more than 600 varieties recorded by 1827. His horticultural innovation included pecan cultivation beginning in 1772, and he trained the early American nurserymen. The nursery also drew presidential attention. George Washington visited in 1788, and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison visited in 1791 when Jefferson placed a large order for Monticello. Lizzie, can you see you have a nursery? Mm-hmm. One of the first nurseries in the United States, and somebody comes up to you and goes, sir, Mr. Prince, can you come tell George Washington how to get rid of the weeds in his garden?
That would have been amazing.
Isn't that cool to have Thomas Jefferson and James Madison come by your nursery? So a little bit more on that in the future, but 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So I loved finding that out. And I would have thought George Washington, but Nope, it was Martha who was taking care of things.
Martha.
Let's go to Tom in Polk County. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Very good. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
What I have two things I want to ask you about. First, I have a grafted potted avocado.
Okay.
That the freeze is so big I couldn't bring it in.
Right.
But I covered it. But the freeze knocked it back to about 6 inches above the graft.
Oh.
It's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the veins in the leaves are showing light green instead of dark green.
Mm-hmm.
And I fertilize it with bat guano.
Okay. Well, so when you fertilize it with bat guano, you're giving it a lot of nitrogen, not a lot of anything else, okay? And so you need to use a fertilizer that has all of the macro and micronutrients. So I would fertilize it with a fruit tree fertilizer. Sunnyland has a good product for fruit trees and avocados and your azaleas and things like that. Sunnyland has a really good fertilizer for avocados that includes all of the micronutrients. So now if it's,
yes, ma'am.
Okay, now if it's got four or five, how many, how is it branching out? 4 to 5 branches?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So what I need you to do is not necessarily right now, but as we get through the summertime after next spring, you're going to want to thin those branches that you have 2 or 3 leaders coming up, okay, and get rid of the other ones. And then that way you can get a single leader in next year. You know, you can then start to make it grow back up into a tree.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Also, I have a second question.
Sure.
I have a hybrid elderberry.
Okay.
Which needed a pollinator.
Mm-hmm.
I have both the pollinator and the pollinated. I have big blooms. They're starting to lose their bloom, but I don't see any berries developing. Uh-huh. Do you have any idea on that? And I realize elderberries grow all over the state of Florida.
Right.
I'm a native, so I've eaten plenty of elderberries.
Okay. And do you use bat guano on that?
No.
Okay, so what do you use on it to fertilize it?
It's an organic fertilizer.
Okay. Well, again, you want to make sure that you're just fertilizing on a regular basis, and you're going to get fruit. The flowers are just now falling off, and I had an elderberry this week I saw, and the berries should be coming out pretty soon. But if it got damaged by the freeze, did it get knocked down by the freeze?
No, ma'am.
No, it did not.
Ma'am.
It was fine. Okay, so you still should get some elderberries this year. I would keep looking for them if the flowers just fell off.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for your time, and I enjoy your program every Saturday morning.
I'm only about a mile
from Peterson's Nursery.
Oh, there you go. Well, next time you go in and say hi to Howie for us, okay?
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. You know, it's just elderberries, or once the flowers, they flower in the springtime, mm-hmm. and the fruit should start to come out. But I just think he needs to maybe fertilize it just a wee bit. I just think that. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And I'd like to thank everyone who has liked our Facebook page. We'd like everyone to go on. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, you can go on to Better Lawns and Gardens and give us 5 stars. Review it. I was talking to someone this week, and he said, Teresa, is there a way to review your radio show? Mm-hmm. And I said, you can go onto Facebook and like it, and you know, give us 5 stars. That would be great.
Yes.
And you know, if you're not getting all 2 hours, Lizzie, what should they do?
They should contact their local station and let them know that you want to have 2 hours, because sometimes the program director may not even know there's 2 hours to the show. So just say, hey, there are 2 hours. We're missing an hour. We want to know what we can do.
That's exactly right. And so so if you share a passion for gardening and love to visit gardens, I tell you, I was just going over all the photographs that we've been taking over this last year. And I posted on my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, Teresa Watkins FL, of the courtyard in New York of the cloisters.
Mm-hmm.
And we just get to go see beautiful, beautiful gardens. So if you'd like to do that and you'd like to travel with me, I would love to take you with me on, you want to check out our artinbloomgardentours.com. artinbloomgardentours.com. We take limited size, very intimate groups. And whether you're single or you're traveling with friends, you want to do a group, family, we will love to have you travel with us. We have delicious cuisine. So in October, Lizzie, uh-huh. we're going to New Orleans.
Okay.
And it's the Ethereal Gardens of New Orleans. And I just want to say it's October and Halloween.
Get a little spooky feel.
Yes. We're going to be doing some of that and seeing some kind of gardens for that, but also the estate mansion gardens that we're going to is going to be wonderful. And then we got the delicious cuisine of Creole and gumbo, and our meals are going to be excellent. And then we're going to take a cruise on the Mississippi.
Oh, snap. See, I've wanted to do that. I've seen, Shrek and I have seen that on, you know, line and stuff. So that is something that we've potentially been interested in. Now, if somebody's interested in joining you, where will they get the cost and how can they do deposits
and
whatnot?
Well, they can go to our website, which is artandbloomgardentour.com. The Ethereal Gardens of New Orleans is October 14th through the 19th. And we're going to be visiting Southern Gardens, Mansions, Creole cuisine, and the cruise. And it's just going to be lovely. But we also just started posting. We have our wait list for 2027, and that's going to be amazing. Our Chelsea tour, we are going to have afternoon tea in King Charles's home.
Oh, I love this.
If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Controversial rap.